16-year-old cellist, Kyle Rue. And we've got Kyle coming up in a minute, but first we have to take a break. Don't go away, though. Still coming up, we've got the Washington Performing Arts Children of the Gospel Choir. From the Top listeners, we want to hear from you. 2025 is From the Top's Silver Jubilee, and your voices will be a part of our on-air celebration. Please visit fromthetop.org/voicemail to leave us a message for a chance to hear your voice on the broadcast.
Hi, this is Gretchen Nielsen, Executive Director from the Top. I am so grateful to you, our audience, for keeping us going strong for 25 years. Now, let's hear from a listener.
This is Sam Corbo from Montclair, New Jersey, and From the Top is one of my go-to listens. It fills me with nostalgia for my concert band days in middle school and high school playing percussion. Happy 25th anniversary, From the Top. You bring joy to so many.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. The Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program provides pre-college scholarships for high-performing 7th grade students with financial need. JKCF.org. From the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Welcome back to From the Top. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. I'm so grateful to be with you again this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt, who sponsor my position as host here on the show. And a big thank you to the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. We're so happy to have JKCF as partners. My co-host Charles Yang and I are headed back to the studio in Washington, D.C. now with 16-year-old cellist Kyle Rue. He and I will perform the first movement of Schumann's Fantasiestücke, Opus 73.
Thank you.
That was 16-year-old cellist Kyle Rue from Burke, Virginia, performing the first movement of Schumann's Fantasiestücke. I was at the piano. I'm Peter Dugan, and I'm here today with my co-host, violinist Charles Yang. Charles, I love playing that piece with Kyle. What'd you think?
Man, y'all sounded so good, so personal, so colorful, what you guys came up with. You know,
yeah.
So different, too. You know?
Thank you.
It was beautiful, Kyle. Really, just such a personal performance of that piece. Kyle, you've opened up about some of the struggles you've had with health, with physical health, but also then how that affects mental health. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to talk with us a little bit about it, because you've been so strong through it. And also, I know that music has played a huge role in helping you through those struggles.
Yeah, music saved my life, can I say. It's the reason why I'm here. In middle school, now that I think about it, I call it as teasing, but then, you know, I wasn't in the greatest headspace, and you know, I would be bullied and be called a bunch of, you know, things that weren't very nice about my body, and at the time that would just only hurt my confidence even more. And it just started to get rock bottom, to the point where, you know, I would have thoughts about not wanting to be in this world anymore. And there'd be a lot of those occasions, you know, like nights where I would lay in bed and just cry, because the things that would happen at school would just it just would hurt me. But the reason I was able to get through a lot of that was honestly because of music. Cello was the reason why I was able to forget about all those things, and it was my coping mechanism to just get my mind off of it. That's the only thing that got my mind off of it. And really, I'd say the main two people that I could think of right off the top of my head that always were there for me were my school orchestra teacher, Mrs. Rupert, and my private teacher at the time, Kenneth Law. They were the most bright people that I've ever known, and they always put my smile on my face, and they always were there for me. And you know, coming from a background like an Asian background, it's not always the easiest, because you know, they always expect, you know, all these, oh you know as long as we get all A's and you do all this, then you're good. But you know, they never got around to asking me, like, you know, how are you, like, really, like, how are you? Or even if they would ask, I would just play it off. But you know, really, I was not in a good space. And so, but cello was the reason I was able to get through all of that. And I feel like that's my sole purpose in life, is to just share what I have to the world. And I think that's really important to me. So,
absolutely, man. I relate to that so much. I know how much my parents love me and how much they've supported me in my career and what I love most, which is music. But sometimes it's hard to express those out loud at home. It's healthy to talk about these things, you know, out loud. Kind of make aware that you're not alone. For me, it was, you know, Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. I heard it and I was like, I gotta play that, you know?
Yeah, me too. Elgar Cello Concerto for me, actually. The first time I heard that, I remember, yeah, it was my first year playing. It was a few months in, and I was searching up on YouTube, Cello Prodigy, and the person was Sujari Britt, and she played, in that video, in the documentary, she played an excerpt from the Elgar Cello Concerto. And in the first movement, there is this part where it has the big scale. I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as I'm not even joking. I got chills and goosebumps down my back. And that was like, oh, I didn't even know that was possible. Like, and so that's when I was like, well, I really want to play that. So then I started to grind, and like, it was never really my parents forcing me to do anything, really. They were, if anything, they were like telling me to stop practicing, because, you know, it would be getting late and we live in a townhouse. So, you know, the neighbors, like if we practice past like maybe 10:30, we could probably get evicted. So they would always be like, please stop. And like, our house is really small. So like, you can hear it from the bedroom all the way upstairs if I'm in the basement. So they never really forced me. It was just always just me. And I guess I loved it that much that and I didn't.
You're dedicated.
Yeah.
You're really dedicated. That's a real gift, you know, and keep that up, really.
Thank you.
uh It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
It's so great to have met you, Kyle. As I said, we all believe in you so much. The Jack Kent Cook Foundation believes in you. You are one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. And I just can't wait to see where your journey continues to take you. Thank you again. And thank you, Charles, for being with us, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Kyle Rue, 16 years old, from Burke, Virginia. Music is a powerful force, but so are the teachers who guide and support the young people we meet, as we just heard in Kyle's story. And I have to give a shout out to his teachers, Ann Rupert and Kenneth Law, and actually a big thank you to all the music teachers out there who do so much for their students. Thank you. And speaking of great teachers, we got to meet one powerhouse teacher and see her in action, Michelle Fallon, beloved choir director of the Washington Performing Arts Children of the Gospel Choir, who are up next. Michelle's energy, passion, and skill for teaching is truly inspiring, and you're going to hear about her impact on her students momentarily. But first, let's hear this performance. This song says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning time, joy comes." So here's some joy coming your way now, a really uplifting way to end our show. You heard the Washington Performing Arts Children of the Gospel Choir under the direction of Michelle Fallon with soloist Pierce Pearson perform Joy Comin' by Brent Jones. And joining me at the mics now are Kai Malone and Cameron King, 17-year-olds from here in the D.C. area. And wow, what a performance. You two, I mean, the whole, no one can see it, of course, we're on radio, but all of you were dancing. You were, I think, Cameron, I literally saw you jumping up and down at the end. And all of us on the From the Top staff here were feeling that joy. It was so palpable. Bravo, both of you.
Thank you.
So first of all, welcome to From the Top.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm so glad that you are representing your choir. This choir is like a family, right? Like, Cameron, what are some of the joys and also challenges of being part of this big family for so long?
Being with COTG, the joy that comes with it, you have so much fun every day, whether rehearsal or performance or backstage, you're just having the time of your life. Everyone's great. Everyone has their unique personalities and that makes them shine bright. And that's what makes our choir shine bright. But, you know, big personalities come with like some challenges, you know, people want to talk over sometimes or share their opinions when sometimes it's time to just focus and, you know, do our task. But our choir is just amazing and it's all love.
Yeah, exactly. And that sounds like any big happy family. Well, if COTG is this big happy family, then the head of the family, of course, is your fantastic director, Ms. Michelle Fallon. Can you tell me a little bit about her philosophy in how she leads you and how she creates this magical environment? Kai.
Sure. So I'd say Ms. Fallon teaches us how to be excellent in what we do, how to carry ourselves in a professional environment. And not only that, but she asks us how we're doing. I remember when we were on Zoom, we'd have sessions where we'd just spend the entire rehearsal talking about our mental health and how things were going in our lives. And I think that's something that you don't get in every choir. So
that's
this was really special.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a wonderful quality. You're so lucky to have a mentor like that. Cameron, what's a particular performance or venue that stands out in your mind that the choir has performed at?
I would say a memorable venue would be the Kennedy Center. We sing there every year.
No big deal.
Yeah, we sing there every year. And it was my first year. We're singing the song called We Shall Be Changed by Sean Tillery. And I think midway in the song, we were holding this like long note. And I was just, I would say, caught up in the spirit because I was just with a group of youth that were able to portray what God wants others to hear and others to understand in life. And so it was amazing. It was breathtaking.
Yeah. And a experience that obviously stayed with you and you'll probably never forget. What about you, Kai? Something memorable that you've performed, either a place you've performed or...
So one of my favorite memories is when I sang the National Cathedral for the first time. And it was a Sunday and we were walking towards the building and it was very windy. Like the wind was pushing up against us. I was like, this is kind of fun. I get inside and it's beautiful. I had never been in the National Cathedral before that. So I was just amazed. I was like, it's gorgeous in here. The acoustics are amazing. So I was so glad to be able to perform there.
I'm glad you mentioned performing at the National Cathedral because, of course, this is a gospel choir, right? I mean, we recorded you today in a beautiful studio here in D.C., but I mean, this is church music. And I grew up playing organ in a gospel church in North Philadelphia. So I know a little bit about how important it is with gospel music that... there's a message that's so important to every single song.
I think that believing what you're singing makes it so much easier. Like if you're learning the song and you're feeling it, all the nuances are just already there because you believe it and you're feeling it. So I feel like that's something we have when we sing our songs.
Yeah. That I wish that everyone could take that and apply it to every piece they perform, whether it's a spiritual or not. You have to believe what you are sharing on stage. Thank you both again for sharing joy with us today. Quite literally. It was absolutely a pleasure to have you both on From the Top.
Thank you for having us.
17-year-old Kai Malone and Cameron King, members of the Washington Performing Arts Children of the Gospel Choir here in the D.C. area. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. I want to say a big thank you to my friend and co-host Charles Yang for being here and shining some of his beautiful light on us. I appreciate all of you out there, and I hope you felt as moved as I was by all of these incredible, hardworking young people. I'd like to thank all of the young musicians who appeared on the program today, not only for sharing their music with us, but also for sharing their humanity. And to you listening at home or in the car or stirring up a bowl of chili, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. A big thank you to Jan Lodl for his generosity and hospitality in offering up his gorgeous house for our rehearsal space in McLean, Virginia. It was a highlight for sure for all the families and those of us at From the Top who had the privilege to be there. A big shout out to the Washington Performing Arts Gospel Band members, Anthony Walker on keys, Hamilton Hayes on bass, and Tim Steele on drums. Such stellar musicians. From the Top would like to thank all the recording studios that helped us produce this show. London Bridge Studio and Eric Lillivois, and over at Q Studios, thanks to Ken Schubert, Blaine Meisner, and Dusty Rose in Falls Church, Virginia. Thank you for your help. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Jessica Tickton. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, for nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org.